the training is different for nurse practitioners because they don't have as much of a focus on surgical settings. Really, you see the surgical setting as more of a focus in physician assistant programs because their history stems more from a surgical need during the Vietnam War. And so when it comes to nurse practitioners, that really stemmed from a need for, in general, primary care practice.
Yeah.
Since there was a shortage of the physicians in that area.
This is Gavin Ward, co-host of Pop Health Podcast. In today's episode, I had the chance to sit down with Charlene Platon, manager of advanced practice at Stanford Healthcare. To be upfront, I didn't know what the term advanced practice provider meant until really understanding it from Charlene. Today's episode shed some light on the history of advanced practice providers, the various roles within advanced practice providers, and the great work that over 400 advanced practice providers are doing up at Stanford. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and feel free to leave a review on Stitcher or iTunes. Thanks, everybody, and enjoy the show. So, Char, one thing we like to do when we kick off our shows is learn a little something unique about our guests, maybe a fun fact, something that might surprise the audience or even your colleagues about you.
Yeah, so one of the fun facts about myself that I like to tell people is that I'm actually an identical twin. So I have an identical twin sister who's also a registered nurse.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you're both, now growing up, did you think that would happen? You'd both end up in the nursing world?
Actually, I'm not sure. That's a good question. I don't think we really thought about it that much until we actually got into it.
Wow. And you're, so who was born first? Who's the older sister?
She's the older sister by 2 minutes.
Okay,
so
nice.
So I'm the youngest.
Nice. And were your parents expecting, or was it unexpected?
It was unexpected.
Oh,
so we were
nice.
Big surprise.
Cool. Is she, now you're at Stanford, is she up north as well, or?
She's in Los Angeles. She's actually at UCLA Medical Center.
Oh, cool. I do a lot of work with those folks over there. Is it with Santa Monica or Reagan, or?
It's with Reagan.
Okay, very cool. Small world. Good. So tell us, we know you have a twin sister, and as you were growing up, what were you thinking of doing professionally, and how did you end up getting into healthcare?
Well, it's a funny story because actually before I was introduced into the healthcare world, I wanted to be an engineer or an architect.
Okay.
And I think that came from actually some influence from my father because he's an engineer, and I was always interested in designing and building and creating different things and drawings.
Okay.
And then it turns out that my mom is a nurse, and she works as an intensive care unit nurse in White Memorial.
Yeah.
And so once she was a nurse practicing in Los Angeles, and I was just growing up, I was always in and out of the hospital to visit her. And so I was always comfortable with the healthcare setting and the hospital. So naturally, I progressed to become a nurse, and that's where my career went.
Very cool. So I know you used to work at White Memorial for a little bit. Was your mother a nurse at the same time?
Yeah, she was. It was funny because during change of shift, sometimes she would be giving me report, and I would give her report because I was a night shift nurse, and she was a day shift nurse.
So you were ICU as well?
I was doing some ICU rotations, but I did primarily telemetry nursing.
Okay, wow, small world. So did she help you get an interview?
I think it definitely helped that she was there.
Hopefully she got her little referral bonus there.
I know, I hope so.
Very good. So you started off working the floor in the telemetry unit, and when did you decide to start pursuing a nurse practitioner degree?
So actually a lot of that influence came from my background. Before I was an acute care registered nurse, I actually was serving as a medical coordinator for a nonprofit respite care center in Orange County. And this was a program that helped homeless patients who were being discharged from hospitals and trying to transition back into the community. And so during that time, I was really helping them to enroll in Medicare, Medicaid, and get all of the different types of health services that they needed.
Okay.
And so learning about that process made me realize how complicated healthcare is and how difficult it is to get all the resources that you need, especially if you're in a situation where you don't have the money to get those resources. And so after I learned about that and after my time as an acute care nurse, I saw more of the kind of inefficiencies in the healthcare system, and I wanted to make a bigger impact. And so I was really interested in quality improvement when I was in nursing. And in the hospital, I actually started a program to help with improving throughput for patients who were coming from the ER and being discharged all the way until they were leaving the hospital. And so all of the impacts from that program really made me see the potential in that kind of work, and it made me realize how important it is to make other initiatives beyond your traditional scope of nursing. And so I felt that I wanted to improve and further my education, and that's what got me into my nurse practitioner program.
Okay, cool. And where do you do your nurse practitioner program?
So the same place where I did my bachelor's program, in the University of California, Irvine. Zot.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Now, I was talking to some colleagues off mic recently. The LA Rams have a UCI connection, as
yeah.
you know. I know
mm-hmm.
I know sports isn't a big thing for you, but did you ever see the Rams? Well, I guess the Rams weren't even there probably when you were.
Yeah, they weren't there yet, but there was talk about them coming, and people were kind of talking about it a lot, but I wasn't really in those conversations.
Got it. No, fair enough. Mm-hmm. Cool. So you finished up at UCI, and now you're in Northern California. Tell us about that transition. We're going to learn more about nurse practitioner, PAs, things like that, but tell us about your transition up north.
Yeah, so I actually always wanted to move up north. I think just because it was a different setting. I grew up, I was born and raised in the Los Angeles County, and so I was always in Southern California. And so I just wanted to change scenery, but also because there was an opportunity for me to really grow in and develop my career in Northern California. And so while I was a graduate student in UCI, we had a guest presentation from someone in Stanford who talked about advanced practice at Stanford Healthcare.
Right.
And that was when I was first exposed to the Center for Advanced Practice over there. And so I learned about their opportunities, and that's what really got me inspired to apply over there. And I let them know about my interest in performance improvement, and then I was able to interview with them and get this position as a manager for advanced practice.
Oh, very cool. We actually have an episode with a gentleman named Jason Cepeda from Hoag Hospital and performance improvement. So it's cool to see the connection there. So you came up north, and then you're now working with advanced practice providers with Stanford. Tell us a little bit about your work there.
Yeah, so my title, as I mentioned earlier, is a manager of advanced practice. And so in that role, I really help with process improvement, which is really my passion in this role. And, you know, I do the traditional managerial type of work, which includes hiring and interviewing and all of those different types of aspects of it.
Okay.
But as a person who's interested in process improvement, I really try to help with initiatives to improve the current processes and the current state so that APPs can have improved working conditions, and so they can also be able to practice at the top of licensure in the hospital.
Okay, cool. And APPs is something I still need to practice. I met with Charlene a couple times, or seen her a couple times over the past year, and I still got to get that APP, say that three times fast. Mm-hmm. And that stands for Advanced Practice Providers or Practitioners.
Yeah. Advanced practice providers.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And then who would fall underneath that category of advanced or advanced practice providers or APPs?
So specifically at Stanford Healthcare, the term for advanced practice provider or APP actually is comprised of nurse practitioners, clinical nurse specialists, and certified registered nurse anesthetists. And it also includes physician assistants. And so this is actually also a term that you might hear in other institutions to also include certified nurse midwives.
Okay.
So since Stanford is an adult care facility, we don't have certified nurse midwives in that side of the hospital.
Okay.
But they are employed at Lucile Packard Children's Hospital.
Okay, cool. And how where's the destination compared to Stanford?
Right next to us. My office is actually right next to the children's side, and we're all connected.
Great. Well, thanks for sharing with the audience about that. So tell us a little bit about what you know about the history of advanced practice.
Yeah, so the history for advanced practice is really interesting. And the term for advanced practice really comes from advanced practice nursing.
Okay.
And so all of the terminology that you might hear when it comes to advanced practice is really referring to the history of how the roles came about for nurse practitioners, clinical nurse specialists, and certified registered nurse anesthetists, as well as the certified nurse midwives. And so it was a term that was used to collectively refer and delineate all these different positions in nursing specifically. And so because of that, at Stanford, we wanted to include physician assistants in this group because a lot of the work that they do is the same as what we do as advanced practice nurses.
Right.
And so that's where the term came from collectively.
Okay, cool. And how is what's the difference between like a PA and a nurse practitioner?
So there are a few differences between PAs and NPs.
Okay.
And so when it comes to the differences, the primary thing that you might notice is the training. So physician assistants really work in collaboration with physicians to perform their different, perform their healthcare conditions and treatment plans. And a lot of the work that they do during their graduate education is to be in surgical operating rooms, be in different specialty areas, and there's really a focus that you'll see in inpatient settings.
Okay.
And so it is interesting because physician assistants, if you look at their history, they were also really, the role was created to be able to target the shortage for primary care providers.
Right.
And this is linked with the same kind of history as nurse practitioners because their role was really expanded and developed to try to target the care that was needed for patients in underserved communities in kind of poor areas where there was a lack of practitioners there.
Okay.
But the training is different for nurse practitioners because they don't have as much of a focus on surgical settings. Really, you see the surgical setting as more of a focus in physician assistant programs because their history stems more from a surgical need during the Vietnam War. And so when it comes to nurse practitioners, that really stemmed from a need for, in general, primary care practice.
Yeah.
Since there was a shortage of the physicians in that area.
Wow, I did not realize there was a Vietnam War connection to the history mm-hmm. of physician's assistants or mm-hmm. being a physician's assistant. Veterans Day recently passed during today's recording, and I was talking to my dad. He strategically joined the National Guard. At the time, I hope, Dad, if you hear this, you don't hold this against me. But he served our country that way because he didn't want to have to go overseas. So there was a way for him to avoid Vietnam, but and he was a medic, actually.
Oh, wow.
So I don't, just kind of a small world. And again, we're recording this slightly after Veterans Day. And if you're a veteran out there, thanks so much for your service. So you have worked in Southern California. You've worked now in Northern California. Kina, tell us maybe about some of your past work, maybe some of the challenges that you've seen in your work at Stanford or just in general as a nurse practitioner and with APPs.
Yeah, so actually some of the biggest challenges that I've seen just in general throughout my entire nursing career has been centered around technology.
Okay.
And it's really interesting because you would think that technology in healthcare would really make big strides and improvements, but I would say that healthcare is probably one of the few areas or industries that really have not progressed as quickly when it comes to technology. And in, you know, specifically I'm referring to the electronic medical record system.
Okay.
And a lot of the things I've noticed throughout my entire career has been just the difficulty in being able to access patient information.
Yeah.
And none of the different networks talk to each other from organization to organization. And this is clearly an issue when it comes to patients who don't remember their medical records, don't have it on file. And so that's just one of the things that I've seen. And in general, another issue that I've seen has really been the issue of expanding or having nurse practitioners practice to the top of their licensure. Okay. And so in California, we're actually one of the only states on the West Coast to not have full practice authority. And that's actually one of the biggest issues that I've seen so far.
So can you tell us where the gap is from what a nurse practitioner can do today in California versus what the intent of their license allows them to do?
Yeah, so actually in California, we have something called restricted practice. And so when you have restricted practice, you do require supervision from a physician to be able to perform all of the different types of treatment plans that you have in order to prescribe, to diagnose, and to assess patients. And so this can create a lot of barriers, especially when you're in a state like California that has a lot of patients, you know, millions of patients in LA and in the Bay Area alone. and all of these patients need access to care.
Yeah.
And I've seen in a lot of different facilities, the issue of access to care is really huge.
Yeah.
And so because of the lack of providers who can readily give this care, a lot of patients wait for days or weeks or months to get the care that they need.
So do you know what process other states have gone through? Is it just a legislative process to allow NPs to practice at the top? Or share about that.
Yeah, so each state has to go through their own state regulations and has to pass their own legislation in order to practice at a certain type of level of their authority for their licensure. And so when California was trying to pass that law, unfortunately, it didn't go all the way through, so we couldn't have full practice authority.
Okay.
But we've been trying for a while to go ahead and have nurse practitioners go ahead and have full practice in California.
Got it. And we try not to get too political on the show, but out of curiosity, is it physicians here in California that feel that maybe there's some pushback or...
I think it's a combination of different issues, and actually when it comes to physicians, you can see clearly in the history of advanced practice providers. I know I didn't mention it earlier, but when it comes to history of advanced practice, one of the things that are really key and one of the trends and patterns that you see on the regular is that advanced practice providers were there to supplement a need, whether it was for a war or whether it was for just a shortage in primary care. And so once physicians actually were able to be instrumental in having nurse practitioners and physician assistants really practice and expand their scope.
Okay.
But then once they started to get a little bit too much of the independence, then that's when you started to see a lot more conflicts. And this is a trend that you see in almost all the different advanced practice roles. And so when it comes to California, that's still one of the issues that you might see is that there is a lot of controversy in terms of what a physician agrees with in terms of what a nurse practitioner should do for their full scope of practice. But I think it's also just more complex with all the different politics in California.
Yeah, it makes sense. Some of our listeners are from Arizona, Texas, some other states as well. Are you familiar by chance if NPs can fully practice in Arizona and Texas or unaware?
I believe in Arizona, I'm actually not sure.
Okay.
But I know in the West Coast, there's a map of all the different states that have full practice authority. If you look on the American Association of Nurse Practitioners, and it's a bunch of green states, which means full practice authority for the West Coast, but California's the only red state, which means restrictive care. So
what was the authority or the body again that has the map?
The American Association of Nurse Practitioners.
Great.
Or the AANP.
Great. Thanks, Char. Mm-hmm. Okay. So while in certain areas nurse practitioners can't practice to the full scope of their authority, it seems to be a growing profession, PAs as well. Just advanced practice providers seems to be a growing part of our healthcare culture. How are patients responding, in your experience, to receiving care from a nurse practitioner or PA or CNS versus a physician?
So speaking from the viewpoint of Stanford Healthcare, a lot of the patients have really admired the practice from our group of advanced practice providers. And since I'm one of the managers for the Center for Advanced Practice, whenever we do get a lot of great comments from the patients for one of our nurse practitioners or PAs or CNSs or CRNAs, a lot of them do get forwarded to me so I could see all the great comments that they have. And so it isn't uncommon to see a lot of patients being very grateful for the care that the APPs give to them.
Yeah.
And also recently this year, actually in July, one of our APPs was recognized for the work that she did when she was providing care to a patient in palliative medicine. And so she received one of the kind of these spotlight awards from the organization. So that was really great to see.
Nice. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then we'll probably have a lot of nurses that listen in. On the show. Some may be in case management, transitional care, they might be on the floor. If someone's looking at pursuing an advanced practice degree, what's like a route you would recommend or maybe some resources that they should take a look at?
Yeah, so when it comes specifically to nurse practitioners or nurses who want to become a nurse practitioner, I would really recommend for them first to develop their nursing career. Stay in the nursing career for a few years before trying to transition into the nurse practitioner role. And I say that only because when you're a nurse, you really get into the healthcare field and you really learn a lot more about it. And if you want to take that further, then, and you know it in your gut that that's really what you want to do to become a nurse practitioner, then that's a great way to know that it's a good segue into your career. And I'm just emphasizing that because I've seen a lot of people who became nurse practitioners from, you know, after being a nurse in the acute care setting, and they thought that it was what they had to do in their career trajectory. But in reality, the nurse practitioner role is a very different role from a registered nursing role. And so when they did make the transition, they ended up going back to their previous role as a registered nurse in the hospital or a different setting because it wasn't what they expected and or they found it wasn't their actual passion.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned earlier, we haven't talked about the term clinical nurse specialist. Mm-hmm. Do you mind sharing your knowledge on the difference between that and a nurse practitioner PA?
Yeah. So it's interesting because there are so many roles and there are some differences to keep track of. And I know that especially for patients, it's kind of hard to tell the difference at times.
Right.
Since sometimes you'll see some overlap in the roles. And so when it comes to clinical nurse specialists, their role was actually historically based on providing a need in psychiatric nursing.
Oh.
And so they really were able to develop that role from the psychiatric field. And then they really became people who were change agents and really people who were focused on helping with policies and education in the healthcare, different healthcare settings.
Okay.
And so once they started to develop that, they were able to go into other specialties. And eventually they were also able to start doing more of a clinical practice because clinical nurse specialists originally had more of an educational role.
Okay.
Rather than as much of a clinical role. And so nowadays you might see dual programs for CNSs and NPs. And so during these programs, a practitioner will be able to both have that educational aspect and also have that patient care aspect. So you might see a lot of CNSs who function similar to a nurse practitioner. And so they'll go and see a patient, assess a patient, and have a treatment plan of care.
Okay.
And that's not what traditionally you would have seen a clinical nurse specialist doing in the past, even in the last decade.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I know I've done some work with some folks at Stanford, and I worked with a few CNSs there, and one of them was a great educator. He taught a lot of the staff that I worked with up here in Northern California how to help patients with CHF, and he was truly one of the best instructors I'd seen in a long time, so that was pretty neat. So I know Shar, you're also involved with the Association of California Nurse Leaders. Can you share with me, what is that?
Yeah, so the Association of California Nurse Leaders is a great platform for any nurse who is aspiring to become a leader or even just aspiring to have their voice heard some way to have an impact in a different kinds of means rather than in the clinical setting.
Okay.
And so I first heard about this program or this organization. It's also known as ACNL.
Okay.
I first heard about this because of my CNO when I was working at White Memorial, and she really inspired me to join the organization and become part of one of the committees there. And so I joined the organization, and I was able to really network with a lot of leaders there. And it's been such a great experience. Right now I'm in the Voice of Nursing Committee.
Okay.
And so in that committee, I've been able to meet so many great people. And it's just been a very interesting but also rewarding way to have your voice heard. And so a lot of the members in these groups are involved in policy. They're involved in legislation. They have an annual conference every year, which is really great for kind of moving forward a lot of these initiatives. And so if you're considering being a nurse leader or in management or any type of leadership position, I highly recommend joining this group, especially if you're in California.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, definitely we'll give a shout out to the Association of California Nurse Leaders, and folks can learn more about the Association of California Nurse Leaders at? Shar?
At acnl.org.
Very good, mm-hmm. acnl.org. And if people want to learn more about advanced practice at Stanford, how do folks learn more about that?
So one of the things that you can do if you're interested in learning about advanced practice is to go on the stanfordhealthcare.org website.
Okay.
And actually, we are revamping the website right now for the advanced practice providers, so we are going to add more information there.
Okay.
But right now, there's actually about 438 APPs at Stanford that are practicing.
Wow.
In the adult side alone. And so that's not even including the 250 APPs from Lucille Packard in the children's side.
An APP is Advanced Practice Provider.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Advanced Practice Provider. Huh. And so when you're in Stanford, it's hard to not know about them because there's so many and in over 50 different specialties in outpatient care, inpatient care, and even in hybrid roles.
Cool. And just to, this is a learning experience for me. I'm more likely to see a PA in an inpatient role and maybe an NP in an outpatient role based on the history and their roles, correct?
Yeah, I would say that's a pretty accurate assessment. Or even in a surgical role, you'll see more of a physician assistant. So in any kind of perioperative setting, you would probably be more likely to be provided care by a PA.
Okay.
But since there's so many specialties and nurse practitioners, a lot of them are also in the OR setting as well.
Okay, awesome. Well, Char, you've given some great history today. A lot of new things that I've learned today, which is pretty neat. I have a connection with my dad on the Vietnam War that I'm definitely going to tell him later today, a little fun fact there. And really appreciate you taking the time, Char. I've known Charlene for a few years now, had the chance to meet her at a conference, and she's been a great resource and industry friend to me. And I know you drove a little bit to be here today after a long day at work. So I just want to say thank you very much for being with us today. And folks, if you'd like to learn more about the Association of California Nurse Leaders, Char, that website is?
ACNL.org.
ACNL.org. And by the time the podcast is released, the Stanford website may or may not be updated. And again, that's stanfordhealthcare.org, and you can search for advanced practice to be able to find that section of the website. Does that sound about right, Char?
Yeah. And I also wanted to mention one other thing. This is a really great time to have this podcast because it's actually Nurse Practitioner Week right now.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So we're recording this in November, just so you folks, in case this is released in early 2018. What are you guys doing for Nurse Practitioner Week?
Well, we actually had a big celebration for all of our APP weeks. We combined it into one celebration at the end of October. And so we had a full week of events and activities. We had a latte day, a big atrium event in the hospital, and also social. So there was a lot of things going on, but it was our first time making a really big joint event.
Awesome.
And so, but now we still recognize everyone during the individual weeks.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks for that as well, Char. And again, everybody, we want to thank Charlene Platon for being our guest today from Stanford Healthcare. Thanks so much, Char. Folks, if you like the show and want to learn more about Stanford or other organizations throughout the Southwest and West Coast or even nationally, feel free to take a look at pophealthpodcast.com to look at past episodes. And if you like the show, we'd love to hear your feedback by leaving a review either on Stitcher or iTunes. And lastly, you can reach out to love to hear your feedback by leaving a review either on Stitcher or iTunes. And lastly, you can reach out to the show by emailing us info@pophealthpodcast.com. Thanks, everyone. Take care.